Hi, this is John from Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. I think there should be a response from Congress concerning the Customs and Border Protection custody issues. I think we need transparency concerning how people are treated crossing the border. We really need advocates or witnesses to be present whenever people are being held.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection has frequently been accused of violating the human rights of those seeking asylum in the United States, especially in recent years. The administration had already drawn scrutiny for its recent handling of the migrant caravan at the U.S.-Mexico border near Tijuana. But according to a report from the ACLU and the University of Chicago School of Law, the CBP has had a long culture of child abuse and neglect. Joining me now is Claudia Flores, director of the International Human Rights Clinic at the University of Chicago School of Law. Claudia, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
So when we talk about this long culture of child abuse and neglect within the organization, within the CBP, what do we mean?
The University of Chicago International Human Rights Clinic and the ACLU received documents regarding investigations that had been conducted of child abuse of children within CBP custody during the Obama administration. So this is 2009 to 2014. And after reviewing those documents, found numerous instances and patterns of child abuse and also ineffective investigations of the supervisory mechanisms.
And in a statement released after Jacqueline's death, the Customs and Border Protection said that Jacqueline had reportedly not eaten or consumed water for several days. Her father rejects that claim and said she had been eating and drinking water. Regardless of the circumstances that led up to their crossing, when a Border Patrol agent detains someone at the border, particularly a child, what is the protocol?
Well, the protocol under the Flores settlement, which now is being altered by this temporary rule that has been issued by DHS, was to ensure the basic health care of children. So that's actually an obligation that the U.S. has both under domestic law and international human rights principles. That means if a child is sick, they receive immediate care, they receive immediate food, water, and basic standard of detention.
Now, of course, DHS is saying, and Kirstjen Nielsen specifically has said that this child, that Jacqueline did receive attention, that they did handle her situation as best as they could. However, would you agree? I mean, is there something else that, is there a limit to the amount of time? Are there more guidelines in terms of how quickly and how severe these cases should be handled?
Well, clearly what is occurring within CBP right now isn't working. There are numerous complaints, both in the public media and also in internal documentation, of inadequate care. Border Patrol in particular seems to be a fairly mismanaged organization. Research has been done on the high proportion of disciplinary proceedings and terminations within Border Patrol. The supervisory agencies terminate investigations based on ineffective and insufficient evidence because Border Patrol accounts counteract what the complaint said. So there is a need to really engage in some internal reform. And clearly, children are not being treated within basic standards.
Well, there was a report in the Washington Post that cited a senior CBP official who said that part of the blame is that Border Patrol infrastructure is really designed to deal with adults, single adult men in particular, not with children. Is that accurate, number one? And number two, what does that tell you?
That may be true. I think even when we're speaking about single adult men, the standards are still very low for detention and for basic human rights compliant treatment. But certainly when we're talking about children, we're talking about a more vulnerable population. And the high levels of detention that the current administration intends to engage in really heighten the necessity for ensuring that we are doing so in a humane way.
We've been seeing a large numbers of people who have been stuck at ports of entry, particularly given some of the confusion around the Trump administration's policies on who can and can't enter. CBP officials say that they're only taking in a few people per day. That's sort of forcing folks to go and find other ports of entry. How did that contribute in any way to Jacqueline's death?
I don't know the specifics of how Jacqueline found herself in that situation, but the fact is that, as Senator Udall was just mentioning, a tight border approach to immigration is simply just ineffective. Any research that has been done on this issue has not found a correlation between deterring immigration and a tight border approach. There are a number of factors that are leading people to try to come to this country, and we need to address those factors first.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the CBP specifically. Did your report look at, obviously at the years 2009 to 2014 under the Obama administration. Did your report give any insight into how this we could move forward under this new administration and beyond?
Absolutely. So we had a number of reflections and recommendations. One was really realigning and restructuring internal investigations of Border Patrol mismanagement and Border Patrol inaction. So there is really a need for better supervisory mechanisms, better internal investigation, a higher number of agents that conduct internal investigations. And then beyond that, really reexamine the detention policy. This is a high-cost policy for the United States that is not effective and is inhumane.
Claudia Flores is an associate professor at the University of Chicago School of Law. Claudia, thanks so much.
Happy to be here.
And we did reach out to Customs and Border Patrol for comment, and we have not heard back.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.